Good afternoon. I am your host, T-Todd Simon, and this is another installment of Reclaiming the Legacy. And today, man, we are so very excited to have a special guest on with us. And as you hear our background music playing in the background, it lets you know that we're going to have a very, very special show. We got a very special guest that does a lot of major things in the community. So as we get into it, I want to make sure that we give my brother the proper respect due. As we, before I even say his name, I want to read some things real quick. All right. This brother is a native of Columbia, South Carolina, proud graduate of C.A. Johnson High School. He's also a proud alum of South Carolina State University, where he earned a bachelor's degree in, Bachelor of Science degree in sports management and a master's in rehabilitation counseling. In 2017, he was honored as the South Carolina State University 2007 Scholar of the Year. Terrence is heavily engaged member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, as he represents purple and gold. He was voted the 2017 Epsilon Omega Citizen of the Year for his selfless dedication and community service efforts within the community. He has been honored as an unsung hero by the Saving Our Children and Families Incorporated at their 10th annual award luncheon. He was also recognized in 2018 by South Carolina Black Pages as the top 20 under 40 professional. Mr. Tucker has also been awarded the 2018 South Carolina State University Alumni Association Outstanding Garnet and Blue Award for his community service efforts. In 2019, the Tuck Project was hosted and sponsored over 5 successful male achievement summits. Mr. Tucker was later awarded the 2020 South Carolina Male Achievement Award for the Trio Alumni Association Spirit and the 2020 Southeastern Association of Educational Opportunity Program Personnel Conference, which is the Trio organization. He was awarded for his commitment with preparing first-generation college students to be ready to take that second journey. He was also recognized as the 2020 HBCU Times Magazine Brand Ambassador and selected as a member of the 2020 inaugural 40 under 40 class at South Carolina State University. His most recent achievement was he was awarded the Watch Fox Jefferson Award in 2021 for his work in the community. He was also selected for the Leadership Columbia Class 2023 for his leadership, his outstanding commitment to community, and his motto is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It is imperative that we teach our future kings the principle that if service is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. Each person you encounter knows something that you don't. Learn from them. And if you don't know who we're talking about today, we have the pleasure of having my brother, Mr. Tuck, Terrence Tucker, my brother, the founder of the Tuck Project here in Columbia, South Carolina. Brother, take yourself off mute, bro. You know, cause I know a lot of times, a lot of people don't get the opportunity to give you those flowers like that. You normally on stage, man, giving the motivation. So we want to give it to you today, man. How you feel, brother?
Man, hey, man, thank you for that, man. Listen, bro, I'm telling you, man, you're going to speak at my funeral, bro. I'm telling you. You made me sound so good just now, man. You know what I'm saying? But, man, thank you so much, man, for this platform, man. And I appreciate you and all the work that you do. We met while working together and
yes.
In the community. And I saw the work that you was doing, and I was like, man, I got to have this guy on my team somehow because he is God-driven. And so I appreciate you, brother, man. Thank you for the platform, and thank you for having me. You come through for me several times, man, and I appreciate you, man, for that, man. I always appreciate you for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, brother.
We got you covered, man. We got you covered. So, you know, we're just going to jump right in, man. We'll get back around to the Tuck Foundation because I really want you to take the time to really unpack a lot of the work that you guys are doing with equipping the next generation for the journey ahead. But tell us about you as a person, man. I know you're a Columbia, South Carolina native. You went to Johnson. You know, we kind of from the same kind of area, ground, the same background, man. But for those that don't know who you are and where you come from, man, tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Man, I'm Terrence Tucker, man, son of Gussie and the Reverend James Tucker, man. God bless their soul, man. Rest in peace to my mom and dad. You know, I was born and raised, you know, downtown Columbia, South Carolina, and went to C.E. Johnson High School, the best high school in the world. And don't let nobody tell you any different, all right? No matter what y'all say.
I ain't gonna disagree. You can
let me have my flowers, dog. Let me have my flowers. Right?
Okay.
but you know, left there, man, and you know, went through some trials and tribulations, then wind up going to South Carolina State University, the best HBCU in the world, and you know, learn what the manhood was there, man, grew up there. And I learned so much, man, going to that phenomenal university. And I went on, and my dream was to always start my own mentoring program, because I grew up with so many young men who didn't have fathers, who made the wrong decisions, and that was smarter than me. You know what I'm saying? But I had a blessing, which was my dad. And when I finished college, and I moved to Washington, D.C., man, for like 5-6 years, man, worked for the government. Mm-hmm. And then I went to California for like 1 year. And then my brother died. And my mother asked me to come back south. So I came back south and I asked God, man, please, you know, while I'm here, man, let me be impactful. And I, you know how it is, man, when you want to start your own business, man, but you're hesitant and you're nervous, you're scared, you know what I mean? But you know, God gave me the tools, and one day, my dad, man, we was on the porch, and my dad was like, man, you got to start your own business, you know, simply because, man, you love mentoring. And I was like, you know what, Dad, that's what I'm going to do. So I started the Tuck Project back in 2016, and we started with just 5 young men from C.E. Johnson High School, and now we're at 167 young men currently. Statewide. So we are thankful. We are blessed, man. And I'm so happy, to say, that I'm the founder, but I'm not the leader. My young men, they're the leaders and they're the ones who are driving this program, simply because they bought into the program and they're doing the work. We're just showing them, the vision. We have the flashlight, but they're doing the work. And so, you know, we appreciate them, man, and we appreciate, their parents, the communities, and we appreciate the, schools whom, we have, partnered with, like, you know, District 1 school, District 2 schools, Lexington 5, right. And, you know, the guidance counselors, the principals, the janitors, the teachers, you know, just that whole community that makes the Tuck Project run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it sounds like we might have a question a little earlier, bro. See, that's what I mean by impact. We normally wait to the end to kind of take some questions.
And let's get it, man. Shoot.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get right to it. You got a question. Go ahead.
I am absolutely amazed. And Todd, you keep doing this. You guys have some kind of formula or recipe back there. Something. You boys, you men, you guys seem to be bringing it every single time I hear from you. Not one time have I said, this is just another one, another great meeting. No, you guys, there's something about you guys, your culture. And that's what I love about the South. That's what I love about the Southeast. Black people are really, that's where things are really happening. Right. And you can honestly say things are happening back there. How are you doing this? How are you doing it? And how can you be replicated across the country? We're in dire times now. And what you do needs to happen across the country. What Todd does needs to happen across the country. You guys are bringing something that hasn't been seen in a long, long time. I'm your senior, and I can tell you for certain, this doesn't happen every day.
Right.
It doesn't happen every day. We make excuses. So I'm really proud, and I'm excited to hear what you're doing.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much. You know, we are blessed. You know, I have two phenomenal parents that poured into me. And just they were my role models. And I watched them serve day in and day out. And I knew that was going to be my calling as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that being able to wake up, you know, and see a man get up no matter what the weather was, and he put on his hard hat and he went to work every single day was my blessing. And he came home to us, man. He took care of us and he provided for us. And he also, my pops, man, he also provided for his community. And I realized something that you're nothing when you're not giving back. And I really, you know, and we had so many young men growing up with us who didn't have dads, who were homeless, and who were making the wrong decisions simply because they lacked the proper guidance, right? And so I wanted to actually make sure that I did my part. And I came back to my community first, and I started there first. And then I branched out once I saw that God was connecting me to men like Mr. Todd.
And that's the beauty, man. You know, it's collaboration over competition.
Right.
You know, the one thing that I can say that has been, you know, a breath of fresh air with dealing like with brothers such as yourself, is that we're servant leaders, right?
Right.
We learn how to become leaders by serving.
Right.
And also understanding that we have to walk in vision. You know, with me, my job was to become what I did not have. You know, my father wasn't in the house with me, but I was blessed to have six uncles that poured into me as well that helped shape who I am today. So, you know, when we're talking about what we know is lacking in our community, it takes the heart of a servant, which you have, brother. So I applaud you for the work that you're doing. But I do want to come back around to South Carolina State University.
Yeah.
I have to. Cause in talking with that, it sounds like, that your decision, to be led to go to South Carolina State University, one of the best HBCU in the country, first off, that it helped you become the man who you are today, man. So can you speak about your experience with going to an HBCU? And how that shaped you into becoming the man you are today?
Oh man, it's easy, man. I mean, we have a limited amount of time, so I won't take long, but it would take all night. Because they take that institution changed my entire life. My entire way of thinking, walking, drinking, eating, you know, you name it. It changed me for the best. Good. My parents didn't go to college. And we grew up in substandard conditions. You know where C. Johnson is.
I do. And, Greenview.
Right. Same thing, right? So I didn't really have too many positive male role models when my dad left the house. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, growing up, you know, I was told by many teachers and some guidance counselors that I was not college material. And I believed that. Because they were the professionals, right? And I was a sports jock, you know, I played basketball and football and all that stuff, but I never took my education serious at all because I was told, my sophomore year by my guidance counselor, me and my mom were told that he's not going to college. So it's no need to even look into that. So I believe that, right? So I finished high school, right? You know, got all kinds of scholarships, but I could not didn't qualify because of my grades, right? Was voted Miss, you know, most popular, all that, right? Best dressed, all that. But I had a 1.4 GPA, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but it was cool because nobody in my family really went to college. You see what I'm saying? So I went and got a job, man, working at, down on from Harvison, man, working at this high school called Irmo High School, right? And I was there for 3 years, right? Being their lead janitor, right? For 3 years, right? Man, mopping floors, man, stripping, waxing floors, man, cleaning toilets, you name it, man, dumping trash, right? Monday through Friday, right? But I enjoyed it because my mindset, because my mom was a janitor. You see what I'm saying? So I never looked at the job like it was beneath me, right? Fast forward, you never know who's watching you. And so I had a guy, the principal name was Dr. Witt. And Dr. Witt came to me one day and said, son, what are you doing at my school? And my response to him was, well, Doc, man, it's my shift, right? He said, no. Why are you 21 years old and you're my lead janitor? And my response to him was, well, my guidance counselor told me that I was not college material, so here's why I'm here. He said, no, son, you are college material, and here's why. And man, he gave me so many things, right? Positive words that I had never heard in my life about myself. He saw more in me than I saw in myself. And there were teachers watching me because teachers, they were asking him, what is he doing here? Simply because of my character. My dad had always given me character, right? My dad always said, man, no matter how low you are, your character has to remain high at all times. Right. So I had a good attitude. Here's what happened. Him, Dr. Witt, right? Somehow, don't ask me how, but he formed this partnership with my aunt, who was the dean of students for South Carolina State during the time. Mm-hmm. They formed some kind of relationship and they got me in that school. Don't ask me how now, because it might be against the law. Okay. People snitching nowadays. He might be on CNN. We don't want no more smoke, right? We've had enough negative courage. But they got me in South Carolina State, man, no matter what they had to go through, with my little 1.4 GPA, they got me in and I had to work hard for that, man. So the first thing that I did was met a young lady named Crystal Smith and she tutored me Monday through Friday, man, every single day. But I had to work at the cafeteria for free, right? I couldn't stay on campus, so I had to stay with my grandmother who stayed 30 minutes down the road, right, in a small town called Bamberg, South Carolina. And then I had to be in the house by 8 o'clock.
Right.
Old folks. Really,
yeah.
Right. So, but I realized something, that I did not want to go back to where I came from, you know, right? You know, I knew that this was my opportunity for change. So I made sure that I changed my mindset, right? And I was like, listen, there's no way I'm dropping this, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way I'm fumbling this ball. But the best thing I did, T, was surround myself with, man, phenomenal men.
Right.
Men, bro. And those guys, man, they mentored me. They helped me accountable. And they rubbed off on me, man. And that helped me my first semester coming out with a 2.9 GPA, right? And then I went on, man, I did wonderful things, man. I graduated with a 3.5 GPA, right?
Let's go, brother.
The first time I saw my dad cry was when I walked across the stage. And my dad was like 6'6", 280, right. Big dude, trying to hold him tears back. Well, so proud of you, man. You know what I'm saying? T, man, now I know I can do it. You see what I'm saying? And because that school showed me that it's not about where you start, man, you know what I'm saying? But it's simply how you finish. And it's how you surround yourself with, man, phenomenal men and just the whole community. Man, they poured into me, man, and I learned so much about manhood, and I just became more confident about, you know, my education and my responsibility as far as being a man. And, you know, I went on, man, got my master's degree for free. They gave me a master's degree there, and my first job was in Washington, D.C., and that was a job that I didn't even apply for. My professor, man, nominated me for the job. You see what I'm saying? So everything right. that I've got was solely through people that went to South Carolina State that saw something within me, man. And they showed me the way. So I will forever be indebted to that university, man, because they paved the way for me to be sitting here with you right now.
Man, that's beautiful, man. So, you know, even when you're talking about, once again, it's not about how you start, but it's how you finish. But to hear the story, right, of being told. And you know, I come from Richland 1 as well, right? So right. I know some of those things that the guidance counselors would say to us as black men, like, that would just put some stumbling blocks in our way. Right. And to hear that in spite of the stumbling blocks, your character remained high. So at your first job, you worked in a way that pulled the favor back to you. And a lot of times, you know, what I think we don't understand is that, you know, favor is not fair. So, you know, somebody will, if you exhibit the characteristics, and that you're trustworthy and you are reliable and things of that nature, people will actually do and move mountains to help you get to the places that you need to get to. But to hear coming from C.A. Johnson with a low GPA, but ending up with a bachelor's degree and a master's degree based off of your experience in at South Carolina State University. So that actually leads me to my next question, honestly. So what is the leading foundation or the motivation behind starting the Tuck Project? Was it your experience in collaboration with people at South Carolina State that led you into that? Help us understand what sparked you into establishing the Tuck Project.
C.A. Johnson, man. C.A. Johnson. Okay. You know, I told my mother caught cancer back in, 96. And, she asked me to, walk to the store to get her some, groceries, man. I had to walk through a Benedict College to get to that food line, by a Benedict College. You know what I'm talking about?
I know the food line. Yeah.
So I walked there. Right. You know what I'm talking about? So, walking back through. Right. Exactly.
So yeah, I know what time it is.
Yeah. You know what's going on. So walking back through, man, Benedict College, man, I started seeing, man, cats, man, who were going to college, man, who actually looked like me, who actually were happy about life. And when I crossed the street going back towards Saxon Homes, man, that wasn't my reality.
Right.
So when I went into the house and I told my mother, my response to her was, Mom, man, I found out what I want to do with my life, man. I found out what I want to do with my life. And she was like, what? And she was like, what, baby? And I was like, listen, I want to go to college. So she told me, man, great. So when you go to school tomorrow, make sure you tell your teacher what you want to be so y'all can start making, you know, those preparations, right?
Right, right.
I said, bet. Went to school the very next day, man, and told my teacher that I wanted to go to college, man. Like, you know, like that was my dream because my mom didn't go, my dad didn't go, right? And my teacher told me, she said, well, son, that may not be possible simply because you struggle with a speech impediment, and you're not going to be able to actually go to college. So maybe you should probably, look into going into the military probably, or maybe, you know, get a trade or something like that. But college, you know, that's not your lane. And she crushed my whole soul, bro. And that just killed my ambition for just going to college. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I started seeing cats, man, who are, you know, my age, man, who were smarter than me, man, faster than me, stronger than me, who were dropping out, man, ninth grade, man, going to the streets. And they didn't have no father figures. But we also didn't have no positive male role models to actually show us the way. So mm-hmm. I lost so many friends, man, to the streets who were smarter than me, bro. I'm telling you, extremely gifted. And I was like, listen, when I get back, man, when I become somebody, man, I'm going to come back and I'm going to change the lives of so many young men who have the potential simply because there are women like you that are telling these men, these young men, what they can't be simply because you don't see value within them. Right. So I'm not going to live, you know, that narrative, right? So I want to make sure that I change that narrative, man. And I prayed to God that he gave me the strength, the courage to battle my limitations, you know what I'm saying, which he did. You see me now. I'm speaking in front of all kind of people, not even right. caring, because I realized something that, you know, what you meant to be my downfall, man, God used, you know, as my steps. And I told people that I'm going to come back and I'm going to help so many young men who, you know, who had, who fear whatever they may not have, right? You know, it may, you know, it may be lack of support, right? Maybe lack of resources, you know, maybe lack of hope, right? But I'm going to make sure that I inspire so many young men simply because they don't know that they can be you. Don't know that. You see what I'm saying? They don't know they can be you. So when they see you, they don't understand you because they don't see you. You see what I'm saying? Right. So sometimes they don't know what they can be when they don't see it. And they're being told that there's no way in hell that they can be you.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's right, brother. And that's why that work that you do is so important. Now, I do want you to actually, you know, break open, unpack, you know, the Tuck Project, because when I see how it's spelled, it's T period U period C period K. Yeah. Now, does that stand for something else? Help me understand what that stands for.
It stands for Together Uplifting Community Kids.
All right. You know what? I never knew that, bro.
Yeah. You know, my whole life, my nickname was a Tuck, right?
Right.
And I was like, man, you know, I'm gonna make sure that my brand has my name in it, but I also want to make sure that it has a meaning to it. And I want to make sure, that, you know, people know that it's not about, you know, me being, you know, it's not about, me being braggadocious or anything like that about my name. It's about, you know what I'm saying, making sure you know that I love my name because my community gave me that name. My family didn't give me that name. My community gave me that name. So I wear it with pride. So, you know, simply, man, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why it has that meaning, you know, because, you know, we have so many people who, they're afraid to actually start their own business.
Right.
And they're afraid to actually make that jump. And they have so many greatness, man, that lays within you, right? That lies within you. And I can tell you this right here. Me and you, man, people like us, we're farmers, right? We're farmers. And we have the responsibility to go out to plant seeds because these seeds, right, they're going to grow. And those seeds may date your daughter one day. You never know. Maybe your banker, maybe your pastor, maybe your driver one day. You just never know. But those seeds, man, those seeds, they are very important. So we got to make sure that, we water those seeds. We take care of those seeds, man, because, man, you just never know what that you talking to a young man for 5 minutes may change his next 5 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You just never know. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I take this so serious, man, because, it's not about my name. You know, but it's about, you know, making those young men realize that their name means something.
That's right. That's right, brother. And that's beautiful, man. And I, we actually had the website up. Thank you, Kenny, for pulling it up. And and showing some of the work that my brother is doing in the community. And so I know that, you know, with the community work that you have so many sons, you know, the people that are in the neighborhood that don't have a father have that that person to look to, that person to talk to, that person to call, that person to inspire them. But, you just became a father for real.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. I'm so happy. You know, I'm sleepy all the time. I'm always sleepy. I'm always tired, but I'm always motivated at the same time. And I'm always so filled with the love. And I got a little baby boy. He's, going on 9 months now and he's the love of my life, man. I listen to, I listen to him laugh, cry, holler. It's like music to my ears. And I never thought that I would, you know, be that guy, man, you know, but my dad, you know, my parents passed away in 2020. And so it just felt like a God gave me a gift, when I had my son, simply because, man, losing two parents, man, 2 weeks apart, that's tough. And I was battling a lot of mental, depression almost, man, just, you know, going through that. But prayer, man, prayer works, man. Prayer works. Mm-hmm. And our family support works, man. And just having friends, man, you know, fraternity brothers and everything like that, man. Right. You know, guys like yourself, like, you know, stuff like that helps me be a better father. And, you know, man, watching guys like yourself, man, you know, helps me. You know, because I'm just new to this thing, man. You know, I'm 9 months in, man. I feel like I'm about to get out of jail or something soon. But I'm trying to make sure, man, you know, man, because this guy done peed on me, man, and doodled on me, spit up on me, man. He just keep disrespecting me. You know what I'm saying? Well, but I love him to death and I want to be, what my dad was for me, man. And that was my dad was my king, and I want to make sure that I'm the example to him that my dad was to me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, as we were going through, we were looking at the website. It actually showed a few pictures of the gentlemen that were in the military uniforms. People that don't know. Yeah, the youth challenge. So for people that don't know, can you give us an idea of, first off, how those young men landed there and what you go in to do to help them understand that there's a better opportunity out there for them?
Well, you know, I think that we all make mistakes. And the biggest mistake, your biggest mistake will be not learning from your mistakes. And sometimes, you know, there are programs that are designed to try to, you know, to try to be that safety net for young men before they make the ultimate mistake, and right. which can either land them in jail or maybe dead. And so I think the Youth Challenge, man, is a wonderful program for a young man who may seem like they're at risk. But a lot of them are just, you know, misguided, lack of support, man. They're angry. They're confused and they have behavior issues and right. they don't really know how to manage, their emotions.
Right.
And so, I've been able, you know, I had a, you know, a, my dad was a pastor, growing up and, I had my own, rebellious stage. And right. so I was probably about one arrest from going where those young men are right now. I was lucky enough to have a basketball coach who, got me out of, my last arrest was in, Forest Acres and they helped me, for stealing from J.B. White. And my coach came and got me out And my coach said, man, if you want to play ball, you can't do this anymore. And that just changed my entire narrative. And I, but I was not a bad kid, but I was running with the bad kids. And I think that's most of those kids there.
Agreed.
You know, a lot of them are running with the wrong crowd and they're not, you know, they're just being followers. Or they are, or there are some who have so much pain inside of them that they don't know how to really go about life. And so, you know, and then you have babies raising babies as well, of course. So, you know, I go there, man, I speak, man, I mentor, you know, I inspire, you know, and because I, you know, I think that, you know, most of them, we share stories and, you know, but I also want them to actually realize that you're still valuable, you know, and you're still loved. There, listen, there are plenty of resources, that are available for you to still be successful out here. Your life is still, you know, it's still beautiful. You just have to find the value in it. And there are so many young men who value the wrong thing. And so that's why the wrong thing keeps happening to them. And so we try to make sure, that you know, men like me and yourself, you know, we spoke there together one time and just making sure that they hear different voices. You know, because my story may not resonate with them, but yours may. Right. And so it takes a, you know, a wide range of men and women to come back to give to these young men simply because they need to hear it. Now, will all of them listen? Of course not. But there may be five or six that will. Mm-hmm. And that five or six may be able to change 5,000 or 6,000.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, actually, I thank you for pointing that out, and bringing me and my wife in. She came in and she spoke to the young ladies as well. And, you know, you and I, you know, definitely spoke to the young men, but, you know, you, it's not like we didn't participate willingly in a lot of stuff, right?
Right.
But we were blessed, to be able to, you know, maybe slip past a lot of pitfalls that were there for us. They were there.
We happened to miss them a little bit. Thank God we didn't have social media, man.
Thank God we didn't have social media, brother.
We'll be trash right now, dog.
It would have been a whole different outcome.
It would have been ugly, man. Listen, man, I might still be in Canada out here, man.
Exactly, man. It would have been ugly. But you know, the one thing too, man, I want to point out, man, is really, how you coming from, you know, the circumstances that you have, like you said, a little bit of a challenge with a speech impediment, but the fact that now you are a motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. I think that speaks volume to your character, brother. You know, and not only just a motivational speaker, but you've spoken in, over 200 middle school, high schools and colleges. You actually go and speak and actually do life coaching inside the federal prisons, the juvenile, the juvenile detention centers, in South Carolina, North Carolina and Georgia. So, you know, speak about that experience, you know, going into first two part question. Speak about the experience with going in back into the high schools, but also speak a little bit about the experience with going into the federal prisons and the juvenile detention centers to be able to speak life back into some of our youth that have made some mistakes. Can you speak to
that? Great question, man. You know, going back to the high school, man, it got, you know, it was rough, man. I was nervous, you know, because I didn't really feel like my message was going to connect because I didn't really have a delivery. You know what I mean? I didn't really know how to really, you know what I'm saying, speak like that. But there were so many teachers who would ask me to come back to speak and do this and mentor and whatnot. And I was like, man, speak about what? You know? And then I just started realizing that, hey, man, you got a story here. You know what I'm saying? My mother would talk to me about it. She said, man, you've been through a lot, brother. Like, you need to tell people about this. And I was like, you know what? Shoot, man, my mom told me to do it. That dog, and I'm doing it. Right,
you got no choice. Your mom,
blessing on it, brother. I'm gone. So, my first high school, man, was Sid Johnson High School. You know, I went in there and I spoke to maybe about, man, 30, 40 boys, man. And I had a great time. And I was nervous, man, shaking in my boots. And then I think consistency, man, you know, but not only that, but social media, man, you put it all out there and you let people see what you're doing. And there were more teachers who would see me doing stuff. And they would ask me to come speak to their young men and this, that, and third. And it was just one huge, man, domino effect. And I was like this, like, man, this thing is moving, you know, pretty fast. But I realized when I would have young men, man, come up to me, man, literally, man, walk up to me and say, man, thank you for that, man. I appreciate you, man. Because, man, I needed to hear that. Like, that gave me chills, bro.
Right.
Like, chills. Like, you know, walking back to my car and my eyes getting watery. You know, because I'm like, wow, like, you know, I've never heard that from a young man who has no hope, but my words gave him hope. Like, you know, that was just humbling. Right. And, but they also gave me youth, you know, right. And I learned, you know, how to get my swag back together. You know, they would say, man, stop coming in here wearing ties and suits and stuff, man. And I was like, you know what? You're right.
Absolutely.
So I really, really, really developed, you know, a huge passion for working with the middle schoolers and high schoolers, man, simply, because, man, we connect and they see something, they see me as one of their role models, and that's humbling and that's a blessing. So, yeah. So I love it, but transitioning to, DJ J-Man and going to those prisons, man, that's a totally different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. I'm never comfortable in there, right? Mm-hmm. I'm never comfortable in there, but I am comfortable. Here's why. Because to be great, you know, man, you gotta be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yes, sir. And
so I went into those prison cells and when I heard the dog on doors, you know what I'm saying, locked behind me, brother, but I knew it was real. Like, hey, it may be no getting out of here, right? And
right.
My first speaking gig, man, was speaking to like 40 prisoners, man. I was in the room with, man, 40 dudes by myself. The guard, man was outside, man, reading a magazine. And I was like, yo, you need to be in here with me, brother.
Right.
But I started talking to them and I started letting them talk as well. And mm-hmm. it just felt like, you know what I'm saying? We connected simply because, man, I grew up with so many young men who went to jail, right? Mm-hmm. So I knew the lingo and I knew what they've been through and I knew how it works. And I think that they asked me to come back, you know? And so the warden man called me and said, hey, we need you to come back. You've been requested. Of course, my mindset was, man, they may try to get me if I come back, but I don't know. But I went back, man, and they had a contract for me. Mm-hmm. And, they asked me to sign a contract and then they asked me to start teaching the life skill courses. And then, so I've been doing that the past 4 years, man, and then been loving it, man. And, you know, I go into, DJJ doing the exact same thing, man, working with those young men. And, you know, of course you can't reach all of them. You're not going to be able to reach all of them. Right. You're not, but those who are available for the help, love the help and they appreciate the help. And I appreciate them, being there to allow me to help them.
Absolutely, man. One thing that you said too, I wanted to kind of bring it back around to that is you talked about us being farmers and planting seeds, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of the ones that you engage may not get it immediately, but right. It takes the excuse away without saying that I wasn't exposed. You know, right. I was exposed to some positive dialogue. I was exposed right. to somebody saying that, hey, you know, where you are right now is not the end of you. you know, there those you type of things, man. So continue to plant those seeds, man. And do the work that you're doing. I do want to talk about your selection, man, to the Leadership Columbia class of 2023. You know, that's right around the corner, bro. So, you know, I need you to, you know, I know you're going to pick the lock, you know, like Tupac, you're going to pick the lock and come back around through the door. But now you're a front runner, man. You're in the Leadership Columbia class, man. So tell me how that feels coming from our city, coming from the inner city of our city and the hood. To now
the
Leadership class in 2023, my brother. Yeah. Man, hold on, man. Hold on. Let me clap for that, bro.
Let me do that, bro.
Listen. My man. Let me tell you something, talk to me about that, bro.
That goes directly to mentorship. So, you know, brothers like, you know what, Derek Pugh, and, Commissioner, Jimmy Devine and, Hamilton Grant and guys like, Kelly Simmons and all of them. They've been through leadership, Ron Harvey. They've been through Leadership Columbia and they were all like, hey, you need to go through this. Like you need to get this. Like you need to be a part of this because this helps you see the other side. You know, like, and I was like, okay. So I applied for it, man, and, you know, had some phenomenal recommendations. Didn't really know what to expect. Wasn't high on it, but I wasn't low on it simply because that wasn't going, let's say verify who I am. You know what I mean? Right. But I got accepted in, man. And it's been a phenomenal ride. I mean, I've met some phenomenal people that I know for a fact, that I would have not had the pleasure of meeting, man, from all, man, different parts and walks of life, man, men and women. And I'm so grateful. We graduate June 6th, man. We got a lot of work to do. And, so I'm so happy, but I can tell you this right here. Being, you know, most people that's there, their company sent them.
Right.
But I'm representing my own company.
That's big right there, brother.
That's what makes it so much sweeter. Right. Because like my company says Tuck Project, right? So there's nobody paying for me. Nobody sponsoring me. This all me, man. So I can give this to my son, my kids, whatever. And because they know that we came, much like you said, brother, we came from the inner city and, we started with nothing and now we're here. And, but it's just one of those things where I want to create the pipeline and I want to, make room for the next guy to come in to, do the exact same thing. Because, like I said, those guys who actually, man, nominated me, they set the tone for me to come in. So now it's time for me to, you know, make sure I live up to their standards, not only to their standards, but to Leadership Columbia standards. And to network, man, and meet people and try to make, you know, make sure that they understand that they that they did not make a mistake when they pulled my name.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. Yeah. I know you're going to make the city proud, bro.
I got you.
I already know that. You know, and I'm looking at the time, man. We almost need a little more time. We may have to bring you back for a part two, man.
You got me all night,
I know you'll rock with me. No question. Two things I want to open up. First thing is, I heard that you could play basketball. I did hear that.
I play a little ball.
I heard you could
play a little ball.
Okay.
I play a little ball.
Yeah. You know, was that for fun or did you actually hoop? Was your uniform?
I actually hoop, man. I traveled the nation playing high school basketball growing up, man, middle school. A high school, like I said, my coach came and got me out of jail, man. My ninth grade year, you know, me and my friends were just doing, you know, boneheaded stuff, but my friends had already dropped out of school. And so my coach said, man, man, you got a future with this thing, man. You keep hanging with these guys, you can't play for me, man. And so, you know, I made sure, but God gave me a gift, man. And, you know, and, you know, sports was, one of my gifts, man. You know,
right.
You know,
you know football, who told me, right?
Who?
Ken, my cousin.
Oh,
Ken.
Oh, yeah.
We were doing some work together. He was like, you know, Tug. I said, yeah, that's my brother. He was like, yeah, you know, he hoop, right? I said, he can't hoop. He's like a football player. Somebody.
Nah, man, I was much skinnier, man. My head was smaller. And, you know what I'm saying, man. You know, I messed around, man, and fell in love with Zaxby. So, you know what I'm saying? But I can tell you this, man, sports saved my life, man. And one of my coaches, man, Coach Tim Rod Gates and Coach Fred Buxner, man, they were two men who saved my life, man, because, man, there were so many of my friends, man, dying and going to jail, man, you know, during the summertime, man. We were always gone. We were always gone. And my coaches with man, they were literally, man, ride by my house during the evening times to make sure I was home. And I will always appreciate them for them, man. They took care of me. My only regret is that I didn't take my grades serious.
Mm-hmm.
My only regret is that, because, man, so many schools were calling, man, stopping by, but I didn't, you know, but I didn't have the credentials to meet their standards. And but I tell young men right now, man, young athletes, you're nothing without those grades, man. You are absolutely nothing, man. You can run fast, jump, I don't care what it is. But man, without that education, man, without those grades, you have nothing. I promise you, man. And so I learned my lesson with that, man. But I played a little ball, man. I played at C. Johnson. I averaged 25 points, man, a game my junior and senior year. Played in a lot of all-star games and stuff like that. And but to go from that to the following year being a janitor was humbling.
Mm-hmm.
Was humbling, man. I walk in the malls, you know, back when Columbia Mall was a Columbia Mall. And I would walk in the mall and I would see people with their, you know, with their college sweaters on, and they would see me and say, man, where you at, man? We know you somewhere, you know, so we know you somewhere big. I'm like, man, I ain't got nothing going on, man. I ain't doing nothing. And that had me so depressed, bro. So depressed, man. So, when Dr. Witt, man, gave me, the opportunity to get back in school, you know, the first question that I had was, will I be able to play basketball? And they said, no, you can't play basketball. And that really challenged my desire to get an education. So I had to make sure, because who are you when God says no? Right. And so I had to make sure that I forgot about basketball, and I had to, you know, put all my energy and all my love and desire to making sure that I didn't let my family down, man. I got an education, man. I got my college degree.
That's beautiful, brother. That's beautiful. One thing I want to unpack as we get ready to land this ship, we only got a few more minutes left, is I want to circle back around to your motto. And it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Biggest piece in this is it is imperative that we teach our future kings the principle that if service is beneath you, leadership will be beyond you. Each person you encounter knows something that you do not learn from them.
Yeah.
Why is that your favorite quote? Excuse me.
Cause my parents were not educated, but they were wise people. Both of my granddaddies had farms and they didn't go past the eighth grade, but they were wise people and they were servants, man. And my family, man, served. That's all they did. Was serve their community. And that's what I grew up in. Most of my friends, there were two foster homes by my neighborhood. And they had foster kids there. And we actually grew up together. And my mother would always give them clothes every single week, man. She would give them clothes. And, you know, I never picked at them, never laughed at them. You know, I hung with them, you know. And I think that just me seeing my parents give back. And one of my favorite things was to talk to the janitors when I got to high school, right? Mm-hmm. To talk to the janitors because they had so much knowledge and so much wisdom, and they told the doggone best jokes.
You know, they did tell the best jokes.
You know what I'm saying? But they told the best jokes, right? So it was like, listen, man, like, you know, like, this is what it's about right here, man. You know, it's not about status. It's not about, you know what I'm saying, degrees or, well, yeah, but it's about learning from one another and treating each other with nothing but respect, because you never know what that man has been through, mm-hmm. right? And so I make sure, like I say, my family, they are humble people, man, loving people. And I just want to make sure that people know that, yes, you know what, you can be a leader all you want, but you have to serve. You have to give back, and you have to pay it forward as well. And I just feel like that, my long-term goal is for mm-hmm. God to say, you know, a job well done. And once that happens, then I can look back and say, you know what? Yeah. But, you know, I mean, till then, brother, you know, I gotta keep working. I gotta keep moving, you know, and my goal is to make sure that my son, you know, sees me moving and working so he can do the same thing.
Absolutely, bro. It looks like we got another question. Ms. Collette, you got a comment or a question?
Sure.
I just want to know, can we make this into a movie?
I wish. Let me tell you. You know, I get beat up so much for not having a book out. I get beat up by principals and, you know, family members. My mom, before she died, she was like, man, I'm getting tired of you coming to this house without a book in your hand. Like, you should have write a book, because we were here to actually see all this. Like, we encountered all this. She like, you know, my mom would have to get out of, my mom got out of her bed several times to, you know, come pick me out of places where I should not have been. And, she was a praying woman. And, my dad as well. And I think that, you know, I think that I'm kind of scared to actually write a book, but for some reason that, you know, I'm trying to work through that. But a lot
don't be scared. We got you. Don't be scared. We got you.
Thank you so much. You know, a lot of principals have reached out saying, hey, you can't come back here, man, until you write a book, man. You can't come back into the school until you have a book, man. And I was like, you know what? I got you. So hopefully, man, this next year, man, 2023 will be the year. Like I said, my family, they lived it, man, firsthand. And when you have, my mom was kind of petty too. So my mom took my first degree that I got, and she mailed it to my high school. She mailed it to the guy's counselor.
Let's go, auntie.
You know what I mean? And I was like, mom. Well, she shouldn't have told you. Well, she told you. You know how it is. But I tell people all the time.
She did what she was supposed to do.
That's right.
That's right.
She did.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. In your face. See?
It, right. Boom. But it's so many young men who have that same story who didn't really have the resources that I had. You see what I'm saying? And I think that's why it's so important to make sure that we give back, we're present, and we're consistent, you know, because these young men and these young women, these young ladies need us, man. So I'm so thankful to be a part of that community.
All right, brother. And as we get ready to get up, you know, you can hear the wrap it up music playing in the background. So really quick.
Kicking me out the house, man.
Yeah, man. Tell the people where they can actually find you, brother.
Hey,
social media, whatever have
you. Go to the gram, the Tuck Project. You go to Twitter, the Tuck Project, Terrence Tuck, and LinkedIn, Terrence Tuck, Tucker, and Facebook, Terrence Tuck Tucker.
All right, that's it, right there. Well, listen, you heard it, man. What was that last one?
Huh? Thank y'all for having me, man. Appreciate it.
You already know, man. We're going to bring you back for a part two. Listen, you guys have heard it. Today was such a pleasure of having my brother, Terrence Tucker, the CEO and founder of the Tuck Project. Just a gem. We appreciate you for showing up, brother, telling us your story. 2023, we writing the book, right?
Facts. Big facts.
All right, brother. So we're signing out. This is another installment of Reclaiming the Legacy. I'm your host, T-Todd Simon with Legacy Home Loans. Back over to you, Ms. Collette.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Mr. Terrence Tuck. Absolutely wonderful. I'll be right there when you start writing the book and when you make the movie. Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. As usual, Todd, great show, great guest. And as I said, I'm so serious. You guys have some real stuff going on over there on the East Coast and in the South. So everybody's got to get that way. Thank you so much for bringing it here to ITRN Radio. And folks, don't forget, as you can see, we've got our show coming up on Sunday. This is going to be our third annual Christmas celebration. So be with us right here at ITRN Radio. And this has been Reclaiming the Legacy Series with T. Todd Simon right there in South Carolina. Yeah, I love it. Be sure to join us. Have a good evening, everyone. We'll talk with you soon. Don't forget to join us right here on Sunday, ITRNradio.com. We've got Sounds of Blackness. We've got the Danny Glover Roby Theater Company coming on. We've got kids who are going to sing to you. We've got Christmas carols. We've got all kinds of stuff. We've got candy canes. We've got hot apple cider. We've got hot cocoa. Come on back and join us. We'll talk with you soon. Have a good evening, folks. Thank you.